Conciliums with Pete and Charlie.
I'm Pete.
I'm Charlie.
The unity of knowledge.
That and a whole bunch of caffeine is what's going to get us through this.
Pete, we're on the air.
Thanks. Thanks for letting me know that. No one's here, man. It's the week after finals week. Week after graduation.
There are just enough people here, though, that it doesn't seem dead. It just seems lonely.
It just seems like the cool people are here. I think it's a happening place. No, we're not the cool people.
No.
What's with this Harry Potter scarf? What are you? Hufflepuff?
About my scarf. It's cold, and okay. Wearing the scarf makes me feel cozy.
Do you
and warm.
Own an infinity scarf?
I don't.
Now, an infinity scarf is just a scarf that's tied. It's in a loop, right?
I don't know.
That's what I thought. Makes sense. Kind of like a Möbius strip. I want to get one because I'm told they're good for insulating between your helmet and your jacket when you're riding a motorcycle.
You've really gotten into this motorcycle
thing. It's my thing, man. It's my thing.
I don't know exactly how to say this, but I guess I'll just blurt it out.
When do you ever hold back?
So this is episode 198 of Consilience.
Oh, my God.
And this is the last episode before our final 10.
Yes. We're going to 208.
That 208. Would be 208.
Four stinking, miserable years of two blithering idiots rambling.
And I think it's been longer. We've been doing this for longer than 4 years, but it's just that's four seasons of 52 episodes
okay.
a season. That's kind of
Great.
What I'm saying.
Okay. Because yeah. a couple times when we skipped probation.
A few episodes. Yeah, yeah.
And in the custody of the state.
I'm pretty sure that I. Yeah. I'm pretty sure that I numbered the live episodes too. So,
okay,
yeah, we've been up and down and all around, lots of twists and turns. But
and man, do I have a sore back to prove it.
So we're bringing it to a close. So the final 10 episodes are going to have big topics, big prompts. We're going to do our final thoughts.
What are you selling cars? And big topics this Saturday at Blaisdell Ford.
Isn't it always Sunday?
That's usually like a US 30 drag strip where the big ones run.
And try and bring together our thoughts, our final thoughts on things like teaching and scholarly communications. And
that pesky difference and similarities between science and the humanities.
Yeah, I have to wonder what you'll finally say on all that. But today is not one of those final 10.
Okay.
Today is actually just the final episode of 2016. And this has been a shitty year.
I'll summarize with...
here's a funny thing, and this is kind of science in the humanities. You ready?
Okay, hit it.
So the BBC actually figured out a way to quantify whether more famous people had died this year than normal.
I would think that would be easy to quantify.
Well, you know how people talked about how, it seemed like all of these very important people were dying. It seemed like too many culturally significant.
Way.
It always does seem. There you go.
Because we're busy, and by the end of the year, they're like, Orville Redenbacher died. You're like, what?
So this is what the BBC did.
That was a few years ago.
They counted how many pre-established obituaries they put into use. So what they did
they read them ahead of time.
Yeah. The big ones they do, right? So like people like, say, David Bowie or Prince.
That's how you know you've made it.
Yeah.
So basically they write 80 to 90% of it.
Yeah.
And then they have drug overdose in Detroit, Michigan.
Yeah, the significant person summed up in their obituary, ready to go.
Because yeah, you should.
Yeah.
Because that's a lot of work.
The BBC said this. They used twice as many at the beginning of 2016 than the average of the past 5 years.
Wow. Is this associated with global warming and climate change? This is the deadliest year on record since we began keeping records of people dying.
Well, it's mostly cancer and drug overdoses, right?
Mm.
I mean, I say that. That's obviously just a joke. But, David Bowie...
Cancer and drug ODs? That's your idea of a joke? For shame.
It's kind of funny. So David Bowie died of cancer. Lemmy Kilmister died of cancer. Alan Rickman died of cancer. Prince died of an opioid addiction. Many
of whom are consumed because of side effects of cancer.
Sharon Jones died of cancer. I mean, like, there was a lot of cancer.
Wait, Shirley Jones died?
Sharon Jones of Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings.
Oh. Are these all obscure bands that you like to listen to?
Hey.
I mean, I know who David Bowie is.
Now you're making jokes.
But I don't see you celebrating Alan Thicke.
No, I don't care about Alan Thicke.
Well, I do.
Why?
Because he was young. He's not that much older than me. That scares the crap out of me when somebody in their 60s dies.
But here's the quantification. Here's a way to test the feeling that a lot of important people had been dying. 2016, at the beginning of 2016, they used twice as many prepackaged obituaries as the average.
That is.
And so it really did happen that a lot of people were dying.
Okay.
A lot of culturally significant people were dying.
Right. And your point is? That's why it's a crappy year?
No, that's just the start.
I'm going to go on a limb and say that the results of our presidential election is just sort of the icing on the cake. What really scares me more is the stratification that began under the previous, well, not the previous administration. Well, yeah, even the Obama administration. It began under Bush. It was continued under Obama. And I just see that we are so... There is so much vitriol between the different factions. And
factions, you mean like liberal and conservative?
Liberal and conservative, you could use that except loosely, but it's more than
those
that.
Those are not real, right?
Yeah, it's more than that. It's, I want to see, say, middle-aged white folks are really angry. there it is. I said it.
Middle-aged, so baby boomers are middle-aged?
I don't know. Maybe it's younger than that. I just... I had hoped things would be better in the 21st century, but there are still people that say things that I'm like, what? Did you just say that?
Well, now you're just disgustipated.
Disgustipated? What do you want? Another Sarah Palin rant of making up words? Disgustipated. That could be good, actually.
It's a pretty good word, isn't it?
I'm disgustipated. You're disgustipated. No, I was kind of doing you're out of order, but it doesn't really work.
I'm out of order. You're out of order. Disgustipated. We're all disgustipated. okay, so you seem stuck. Are you just so bummed out?
I'm just so depressed beyond all capacity for rational thought.
So the original sin of America, right, is slavery, right?
That is a good way to put it, yeah.
Yeah, and genocide.
If you are a Native American, I think that rings true with you.
Yeah.
And the casinos are a poor payoff, frankly. It's nice, but it's just...
And so it was just, what, 50 years ago, 60 years ago, that we really started to engage with... Correcting the wrongs.
The Civil Rights Movement, 50, 60 years ago.
64 was the year the Civil Rights Act was passed, right? And so stuff had been happening before that.
Before that, yeah.
The people who were young when that happened are still around and still maybe a little bit sore about it, I guess. You know? We talked about this before. Like, if you're 70 right now, that means that you were... a young person when this shit really started.
Yeah, I was an infant when it happened. Yeah. But it's the fact that we've made so little progress is what scares me. I thought we had made progress, but deep down in places people don't like to talk about at cocktail parties, they just think we should be living with our own kind, whatever that means, you know, by gender, race, ethnic background.
I heard a white separatist interviewed on a radio show, and they were very careful in the radio show to say, we are interviewing this person so that you can hear what they have to say. We do not endorse their views. Mm-hmm. And I listened to the guy, and it was disappointing to hear a person talk that way,
right?
But as I listened, I was like, oh, you know, that's what a lot of people think. That is the assumption for a lot of people, that you should be able to collect in your own crew, and anybody who joins you needs to be like you, right?
And I want to go back to the root cause of that, and I'm going to say what people have said it was for centuries: ignorance. Mm. I have been blessed in that I haven't lived the most diverse life in the world, clearly, but I have had the ability to work with and interact with and travel and meet with a lot of different kinds of people.
Would you say instead of ignorance, it's inexperience?
Yeah, in the sense that they've never met a person like X, whatever that person is. But so are they are ignorant of the fact that someone who is different than they are can be intelligent, engaging, interesting, you know, a good citizen, a great contributor to our society, and that stereotypes don't always apply. I don't know what to say.
I was the witness to a internet argument recently where someone said, I hope you're not implying that because I'm white, I've had it easier. Oh, no, that I've had it easy. That was their, that was sort of their
On
salvo.
On average, white people have, but individual results may vary. Yeah.
Your mileage may vary. What I did was I screwed that up by saying what I thought really was the truth, that this white person had it easier than if everything else had been the same, but they had been black.
Statistically, that is correct.
If everything else had been the same and they had been gay or something like that.
Yeah.
But it was a long, drawn-out conversation. Yeah. I mean, one, because it's typed into the internet, but also because ignorance has a sort of judgmental quality to it. These days, the word
even though it's so, if you literal, prefer not to use it, it's lack of experience. It's lack of diversity.
Yeah.
To be honest, one of the most diverse groups I ever interacted with in my entire life was Al-Anon and adult children of alcoholics.
Yeah.
It's a great equalizer. You had a dysfunctional parent, sibling, or other relative, or someone important in your life that was an abusive alcoholic. You're all the same in there. You're all like, no one's like, oh, my father beat me less than your father. You know, you're all just kind of like, holy crap. I was lucky to have that experience.
You were much more energetic before we turned the mics on and started talking about this.
Oh, was I?
It's a real soul sapper, it would seem.
Well, it is.
Talk about 2016.
But I'm going to go with, we are all, no matter where you live, no matter what country you're from, we are all more alike than we are different. And I have sat down over many a meal. I mean, and that's how you get to know somebody. You sit down over a meal, a drink, a conversation. You have a conversation. Mm-hmm. With people in the Middle East, young people, old people, people from Egypt, Saudi Arabia, you know, Qatar, all sorts of places. You know, people from Europe, Russia. I've met people from Asia, South America, and they're just all really interesting people. And there are some people from all those countries that are douche monkeys and some people that are just amazing folks, and you're so glad you had a chance to get to know them. I just think we're all more alike than we are different. And these sweeping things of, well, we don't associate with those kind of people. That would be bald people with beards like you and I. You know, it's just bad. And I think socially we have, that's come crawling, seeping out in the little cracks of the walls of our society, and then it was only exacerbated by recent election activities. Yeah, meaning the past presidential election.
that sounds like pure euphemism.
I'm trying to sugarcoat it a little bit to keep myself from rolling, balling up in the fetal position and sobbing hysterically. Oh, it's all horrible. But I'm going to try to be hopeful. As a comedian, I'm going to laugh my ass off at Rick Perry running the Department of Energy when he can't even remember it. And let's face it, we'll pick on him for that brain fart he had on that particular primary debate. But that's just a normal brain fart. There's nothing wrong with that. You could be a brilliant person. What was it?
Glad I don't have to live
Department of Energy.
My gaffes.
Yeah, that's okay.
All the time.
That's not what bothers me, but the fact that I don't really think he understands that it's not like the Department of Energy regulates utility prices in South Dakota. The Department of Energy deals with much broader energy generation issues, and the Department of Energy is the folks that make and maintain the nuclear weapons arsenal. So that's a lot of what they do. They do a lot of groundbreaking research. I want to see Rick Perry wrap his brain around the neutron spallation device at Oak Ridge, Tennessee, and, you know, other high energy scattering facilities where we throw high energy radiation and particles and things to scatter them to understand the nature of materials and make better materials for everything from aircraft to consumer products, right? To semiconductors, to solar cells. The Department of Energy does some good stuff. And if you have a legitimate reason to trim it back or trim back its budget here, that's perfectly fine. Nothing wrong with that. People think that liberals like myself don't want to battle against waste in government. I hate waste in government. I just think that the majority of what government does, roads, you know, grants and loan, Pell grants to students in need for college, these are good things.
I feel like 2016 revealed a lot of end results. Like it was the end of a lot of rhetoric. It was the end of a lot of processes that have been put into place starting, I think, in the early 90s. Mm-hmm. You know, like the Grover Norquist movement. You know,
right.
What was that?
His pledge.
Yeah, but he's got a name. It's like the Society for the American
Future. He wanted to shrink government
to
the point where he could drown in the bathtub.
What was the name of his group? I've forgotten.
Buttheads Are Us.
Right. You know, and
I'm spitballing here.
Newt Gingrich's contract
with America.
Yeah. But the insistence that the government is not good, that
so let's make it good.
The people who are part of it are venal. That
some are, that many are not.
It is unnecessary to be highly educated to do things. That people should be able. That people who are merely smart and full of common sense are just as good at things as the people who are, quote unquote, expert.
Okay,
things.
Studies have indicated that common sense is a load of crap, what we call common sense. And I guess the undertone to this is the rampant trend toward anti-intellectualism. And when I say intellectualism, I don't mean the snooty, arrogant, condescending people. I think that's horrible. I hate that sort of thing. But it's just, you know, taking knowledge and information and using reasoning and understanding to deduce what may be the best course of action for government or the private sector or any sort of thing. And to me, the most telling thing is the fact that when I look at the election and I say, I understand why people voted for Donald Trump, I really do, that they're upset with government. They don't think government is very effective. And there is some truth to that. And I agree with that. They wanted someone different, an anti-establishment candidate who would shake things up. Understand that completely. I don't agree with the specific policies of this particular candidate. So at least I'm understanding your motivation. I don't think you're completely crazy for wanting to do that. Whereas people look at anyone who would vote for Hillary as just nuts. She's bad. She's evil. She's the devil incarnate. No one's the devil incarnate, not even Dick Cheney.
But the thing with Trump is that, I mean, he was revealed as not a good person.
Yeah.
Right? And he was revealed as...
I think he has low, temperamentally, very low character.
Yeah, of low character and temperamentally seemingly unfit for the presidency. But whatever he represented, either the Republican platform or an anti-government...
Yeah, draining the swamp.
Yeah.
That resonates. That resonates with me.
An anti-government sort of pledge, like that was enough for people to ignore his venality.
Yeah, that's okay.
That's okay?
No, I mean, what do I mean by that? well, but we all do it, right? We pick the... I mean, it's always the lesser of two or more evils. right? I don't agree with a lot of things that Bill Clinton did or Barack Obama. I don't agree with everything all these guys did, but I pick what I think is the best candidate, and that's it. You go with it. And we're all imperfect, and that's okay. I'm not going to judge people by a higher standard than I would judge myself. I'm concerned about some of these trade policies. The only reason I'll admit this publicly, the only reason I supported NAFTA when it first came around, I didn't fully understand it. I didn't. Trade is a complicated issue. And now I am concerned that when people use the word tariff, they mean something explicitly levied on incoming goods. But tariffs can take many, many forms, and they can be hidden. They can be social, right? They can be just based on the fact that Japan doesn't like to let foreign entities into its distribution network. They don't. It's socially not considered good. Whereas Americans will say, you know, made in the USA, that's a good thing. They'll put it on their label, so all excited. But if it's cheap enough,
it'll be made they
will,
in China.
Yeah, they will sell out, and they don't really care. And I understand that. I'm trying to make ends meet. I've been trying to boycott Walmart like many of my liberal friends say I should do, but many of those liberal friends that tell me to do that make a hell of a lot more money than I do. I did switch my Sam's Club membership to Costco because I believe they pay better.
Yeah, and they treat their workers better. I feel like we lost the thread here.
We did lose the thread because you turned it over to me. That was your first mistake, right?
2016 has felt overly difficult.
Mm-hmm.
But from what you're saying, it sounds like it was just sort of business as usual.
No, it was a little more of the release of our baser instincts.
Yeah.
I'll say it. I have little or no patience for able-bodied people that can work, that choose not to work, right? But I still say a majority of the people that were collecting unemployment and were struggling because of the recession that happened before 2016 wanted to work. They just couldn't find a decent job. That's it. I think that's true.
And so how does that reflect on what we're talking about?
Because our baser instincts, you have all these people saying, well, they're all just lazy. And they want to look at a particular racial makeup and say they're all just lazy. But could it be, work with me on this one, there are less job opportunities in certain financially and economically depressed areas of large cities where you happen to have a particular demographic or race working there? You know, I don't know how anyone cannot be for equal pay for equal work, whether it's women or whomever. I just don't understand that. And people are all for it. They're like, they're just lazy losers.
Wait, you just said people are all for it.
Well, our baser instincts that have been coming out, and I didn't want to label them with a particular political movement, they're just, oh, so bitter and angry.
It seems like...
I'm depressed. I'm depressed beyond all capacity.
Yeah.
And just, to me, this was 2016. That's what this was. It was bad.
And was it simply the things that were revealed in the election, or was there more to it?
No, I think a lot of it was revealed in the election, but it was... There were underlying cultural tones... And as much as, you know, I'm happy to criticize the press when they screw it up as well. To criticize the press as an institution, the Fourth Estate is extremely important. It's what separates us from totalitarian states, right? That we can find these things and we can say, hey, look at what people have done in the past. Look what they're thinking of doing now. It's bad. I mean, think about it. It was the press that had pretty widespread coverage on what they're trying to do in North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And the interesting thing about it is the press also pointed out that both Republican and Democratic governments have pulled this crap in North Carolina before.
Oh, is that
true? The outgoing guy has tried to screw the... And actually, the powers they're taking away from the current governor did not belong to the governor a while ago as well. They kind of went back and forth. So that's interesting to note. So was it a spy? I mean, the truth is, rarely did governors sign these bills when they tried to make this, but the current one, McCrory, did. Is no one worried about being on the wrong side of history anymore?
I don't think so. I think that it's people are much more concerned with right now. You know,
okay.
People are less concerned with what history will say about them because it seems likely that everyone will be judged harshly by history.
I don't think so. I think those that believe that we should figure out a way to provide health care for the majority of our citizens will be judged very kindly. I think that's an inherent moral good.
This might be a completely different podcast, but think about how Franklin Delano Roosevelt, that his legacy and his historical image has been castigated and criticized recently.
But there, while he was president, people hated him.
Yeah.
And other people loved him.
But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about being on the right side of history. That, you know, even a person who tried to protect the poor, even a person
right.
who tried to put
people
you know,
back to work. Yeah, so the Work Progress Administration.
People think very
programs.
Poorly of him now. And in fact, the New Deal is.
Do they?
Yeah. The New Deal is being dismantled. You know, the social safety net is being dismantled.
Right, but Social Security and these things, I think the folks that want to dismantle this realize that the vast majority of the public likes these programs. Why would you do this? The only explanation I have is because someone who's giving you a lot of money wants you to do this. Now, I have no problem with, you know, if you make lots of money in your retirement, that your Social Security gets throttled down depending on how much you make over, you know, $80,000 or $100,000 or whatever it is. I have no problem with that. And if I lose out on some of my Social Security because I'm making so much money I don't need it, I would love to be in that position.
What a problem to have.
Yeah, that would be a great problem. And I would want that money to go to, let me take a real example, mm-hmm. right? Because this is what a lot of conservatives like to say. Well, give me a real example. They want to relate to something. And I am going to pick on Catholic nuns. Catholic nuns.
Because they picked on you?
No. Some of them did. But in general, they were actually very good teachers, very professional, very nurturing individuals. They, in part, made me who I am. I had a nun for second grade called Sister Anne Marie at St. Stephen's Parochial Catholic School in Des Plaines, Illinois. She was terrific. She was scary. You didn't screw with her, man. You got a line. She would kick your ass. But she was a terrific teacher. She was absolutely terrific. Sister Mary Neri in fourth grade, math teacher. Excellent math teacher.
You've spoken of Mary Neri many times.
Oh, scare the crap out of you. But here's the deal. The Catholic Church doesn't always plan for the appropriate retirement funds for nuns. And I think that's bad. I think Walmart is guilty of that, of overtaxing the social safety net in the federal government and the state programs. And they should. But these women gave their lives to educate young children. They didn't have much. They lived in poverty. They took a vow of poverty. And is it too much for them to ask to have, you know, money to eat and have clothing and a roof over their head in their retirement? No, I don't think it is. And they contributed to society. They made me who I am, the edgy educator that's trying to educate a whole next generation of engineers. And they were great. I teach number systems, you know, binary numbers to my computer modeling classes. I learned that from Sister Mary Neri. She was good. So, you know, should we let people starve in the gutter? I don't think so. Does that make me a wuss?
I don't even know who you're arguing with right now.
I'm depressed. Why? I mean, for all the excitement that the conservative religious right had over the conservative candidate, they're not acting like their religion espouses. And by the way, I'm an atheist. I think I'd start to smolder if I walked into a Catholic church again, although I do occasionally go. And when I show up for a wedding or some kind of service, I will take communion. Why? Because if I'm showing up, you're going to feed me.
Consilience with Pete and Charlie is a podcast about the intersection of science and the humanities.
What happened to the unity of knowledge, dude?
That's at the beginning. This is at the end.
Oh, okay.
Thanks for listening to Consilience with Pete and Charlie. You can find us on Facebook. You can like our page, share our episode announcements. Follow us on Twitter. You can find us on Tumblr, too. Pete and Charlie, we're all over the internet.
And what does the Georgia Institute of Technology and WRIK Atlanta think of the content of Consilience?
Hopefully, they'll never find out.